Good evening and welcome to the jungle here. This is KX93.5 Laguna Beach's only FM radio. This is Craig here with Leah Vasquez, Gary, and
Charlotte.
The good name. We'll be back here in just a second with Art Walking. It's Thursday night, if you haven't noticed, and it's Art Walking Laguna Beach.
Art Walking.
Awesome. Yay for the Art Walk. We love our artists.
Yes, all night long here on KX93.5. This is Craig with our third or fourth session.
This is our third from the beginning of the year. But we remember we had a wonderful panel.
Yes.
Art panel with Jonathan Burke. We had about six people.
We've been working on this for a long time, Leah?
Haven't we? Yeah, but this is great. Now, so excited. Tonight is one of our highlights.
So I just want to welcome everyone, and particularly our sponsor again this week is Robin Lee Riddell of Coastal Eddy. It's a gallery that has made... it's a gallery that's made its way with ceramics.
Yes.
And it is an emotional experience. I have to say, going in that gallery and looking at that art is so thought-provoking. I can't imagine anyone going there they'd have to be soulless not to be able to appreciate. So we want to thank you, Robin, again for sponsoring our art walking radio here tonight. And Leah has put together some fabulous guests this evening.
I have one of my all-time favorites, Charlotte Masaryk, who is just a stalwart. What am I going to say about you, Charlotte? She's just amazing. And, you know, she legitimizes everything with her gorgeous speaking voice. And, of course, we have Gary Lefebvre. I said it right?
We Americanize it, so we just say Lefevre, but I'm sure
there's a different pronunciation. Like February. I love it.
It says here he's the immediate past president of Laguna Beach Democratic Club and on the board of the Village Laguna, and is a 20-year resident of Laguna Beach and a native of Southern California.
Yes.
That's hard to find, these natives.
You're a native.
I think I'm a fifth-generation native.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, my great-grandfather's... he's a twin. My grandfather came over from France and settled in San Francisco in 18-something.
Was their last name Lejeune or Soule?
Their last name might be related. His last name was Lefevre, so that's how we were able to track it.
Same name. Okay, I get it. All right.
And then, of course, we have Charlotte, who is an import.
Definitely an import.
Here I am, Charlotte, speaking. I retired to Laguna from Alaska. I lived 35 years in Alaska, and that's my passion. But I love Laguna tremendously. Can you hear me, Craig?
Yes, I can now. Yeah, that's
so
great.
I am not even the first-generation American, I guess. I am a citizen.
You know what I always preface saying is, what does it matter?
Thank you.
I think the wonderful part of this country is the profound diversity, and it comes from the cultures all over the world. And I think L.A., New York's been that for quite a while, but I think even more so now, L.A. has more individual cultures that are thriving in various communities with neighborhoods, I guess I should say, in L.A. So I love it, and I love the diversity, and art is certainly a big part of that. Gary, I understand you do you have a doctorate degree?
Yes, actually, this is my joke. I actually have two doctorate degrees, and one in education and one in psychology.
So it's piled higher and deeper.
Well, people will say, why'd you get two doctorate degrees? And my answer is, it was easier to stay in the closet when I was in college. I can't get married, Mom. I got to get my doctorate degree. I can't get married again. I got to get another one. So
you know, I want to say you make me remind me of a dear friend of mine who was a therapist here for many years. I won't give her last name because I don't know. Her first name is Andrea, and I love her dearly. She did got a doctorate in psychology, and her thesis was on art as therapy. And she wrote a whole book on it, and it was profound what art has the effect of. And she found when so many people were so withdrawn that sometimes only to crack that shell, it took a little art without conversation, just some thought-provoking art. And she could, it was very therapeutic. So I'll just toss that out there. Go on, Leah.
I think it's wonderful. And I want to add, and that's a good segue, Craig, because it's the inspiration. You make art to express yourself, but in Laguna Beach, historically, the inspiration has been through its environment, through its natural beauty, and that has been expressed. And that is what we're concerned with today, is the fact that we may lose that type of beauty if we are not careful, if we don't cherish it, if we don't fight for it, if we don't gather information and present it in a viable way so that we can make changes as needed, or we can hold back on change as needed. And so with that, I'd like to ask Charlotte if she would introduce, I know she's with Village Laguna. She's been very important in maintaining, preserving, and making sure that people gather together to cherish what we have. Charlotte, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in what you're going to be doing now.
Okay. I'm a board member of Village Laguna, and for 20 years I have been doing the annual Charm House Tour, which is primarily historical houses, because Village Laguna is, their mantra is to preserve and protect the village atmosphere. So over these many years, I have chosen houses, 5 houses a year. It's a lot of work. It's a wonderful job. I know almost every street in Laguna, and many, many wonderful folks, North Laguna, South Laguna, Bluebird Canyon, the village, where else have we got? Woods Canyon. I keep missing the mic. Woods Cove, all these wonderful different areas that have their own set of beautiful, beautiful historic cottages and homes.
And so tell us about what you're both working on now. Gary, you want to lead us into that on the summit?
This summit was a development of many different groups and organizations, and many people were just talking in different organizations, and the number one concern that everybody has is that the charm and the culture of our city is something that we need to preserve. And especially in this climate, we really need to be able to work together as a group and come together. So this summit that we're having on April 30th mm-hmm. at the Neighborhood Congressional Church, at 6, the doors are going to open around 6:15. We're going to have, so far, we've been very lucky to have the support of 20 different groups that want to become part of this summit. That is, Village Laguna is co-sponsoring it. The Democratic Club is co-sponsoring the summit. It's a summit to protect our city from overdevelopment and work together as different organizations to preserve the cultural and the heritage that we have here in Laguna, because it would just take a few bad decisions to really change this culture and the beautiful aspect that we have of a city that is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And I grew up in Long Beach, and we would always come south. You would never go north. And in high school, we would come to Laguna. And if it's, I think it's sad to see what the changes that we've seen in Huntington Beach, Newport Beach. And I'm really concerned about Dana Point. I hope that they can pull it together, but they're doing a lot of development. And I think our citizens of Laguna Beach need to come together and become part of a movement that's going to protect the culture and heritage and the beauty of our city.
So the summit, who's going to be speaking at the summit?
Well,
Charlotte, do you have some information on that?
I think so. Quite a lot of people. There will be, Tony will be there, Tony Eisman, illustrious council person. Village Laguna, that's Gary, is also speaking for the Democratic Club. Can Do, out the canyon. I don't know who from Can Do. Let's see who we have. Greenbelt, again, that may be Harry Huggins. The Blue Belt, that'll probably be Mike Beenan. I also am very involved in the Blue Belt. LBBC, the Laguna Beach.
Yes, that's my organization.
Yes,
I'm president.
Beautification Committee.
Right.
LCC, Laguna Canyon Conservancy. Do you want me to go on, or is this rather boring?
Yeah.
No, no, I
Arbor
think
Day,
it's
George Weiss.
Arbor Day's tomorrow, by the way.
Yes. Exactly.
Exactly.
That group of.
See, now I just tuned in, and there's a big list of people that are going to be together. Right. So where, when, and is there a website they can go to?
It's
go
ahead. Okay. So the summit.
Once again,
the summit is going to be at the Neighborhood Congressional Church on St. Anne's in Glen Eyrie. It's the
where Mike Tauber did the beautiful wall.
The wall is phenomenal, and it really adds to the culture of our city. It's going to be at the Neighborhood Congressional Church on April 30th at 7 o'clock. The doors are going to open for a wine and cheese reception at 6:15.
So this is in the evening.
It's in the evening, and we're going to plan on, I know there's a lot of speakers. We're going to give every president of each organization 3 minutes to tell us what's important to their organization. What we're hoping is that the groups will come together as part of their monthly meeting. And we don't just want the presidents to show up. We're looking for the presidents to reach out to their members and have all their general members show up. And I just think that this could be a start of something very positive in our city. And, you know, the more people together, the stronger we're going to be. And that's why the summit is so important to our city, that we just come together. Because I think we're all fighting for the same cause. I think
It's we the people who want to protect.
Gary, I want to touch on fighting for the same cause, because as Leah said, for the last year, I've had art and artists, I've had gallery owners, I've been trying to understand this culture of art in Laguna Beach, and as a new person, as a fresh set of eyes, you know, and I honestly feel that it will take some work, but I honestly feel that we can all have everything and done very well in a unique way, you know. And one of the things I think we really need to do to keep us ahead of the game and in the culture is have some expressive art that is so profound that you don't find it anywhere on the earth, and people come here and talk about it, and it's a buzzword. And indulge me just a little bit here. I feel that the certainty of change brings the certainty of opportunity. So there's always change, and it affects. I mean, the Carnegies and the Mellons and the Rockefellers made money because there was this change, and it called you could make a steam engine and put it on rails, and you can make a ton of money on real estate and all. So that change, Uber is the current example of this change. Change is constant. It's ongoing. Art now is being affected by technology and in a huge way. And I feel the community that embraces technology and art together as an art form is a community that will be on the edge. That is the new generation. That's art 2.0. It's beyond the classics of the 18 or the early country, the Renaissance. It's beyond the classic of those arts. It's a whole new dimension. And it's called performance art.
Well, performance art is a little different.
Well,
but it is within that realm.
This is. Let me explain one more. Okay, just put this in your brain and think about.
Yes.
Blend the Burning Man, the crazy creativity of, and some tech guys from MIT or a couple of technical institutes coming together to create this artistic experience that involves light, music, dance, a lot of the traditional things, but it puts them in a whole new perspective, a very powerful perspective. Now, say that this, the leader in the world, it's like the Sundance Film Festival all over, is here. And it's in Laguna Beach. And, oh, if you want to see performance art, or call it whatever we want to, but or call it, how could you call it on steroids? No, that wouldn't be. But if you want to see the next generation of art unfolding, and that something's currently on the cutting edge, go to Laguna Beach. The umbrellas that were recently on the Laguna Beach.
That was very lovely.
Yeah, now that's performance art. And and people would talk about it and talk about it. I think I could see it in glossy publications all over the world. And if you want to know the latest about what the art form that's taking place at Laguna Beach is a gold mine. And here we are reinventing ourselves as a culture again from the days when we just had artist communities, you know. And now we'll have artist communities that are using new technology. That's all I'm going to say.
But I think that part of our goal and our mission and our concern is that if we don't protect our city and the natural resources and the beautiful landscape, we're not going to be developing the artists that we have in the past 100 years. I'm not sure. Let's look at Huntington Beach and what they've done. I would say that 50, 60 years ago, there were more artists in Huntington Beach than there are today. And I think if we lose the cultural heritage and charm of a city, we're also going to lose our artists.
Well, let me double up on that.
Yeah.
Because listening to all of this, it's profound. I think people have to realize that those umbrellas that were on the beach were skeletal forms of the interior of urchins and sand dollars. And the nature inspires that.
Mm-hmm.
The early plein air painters painted the canyon and the canyon and creeks and the beautiful fields of flowers and the hills that surrounded us. So everywhere we go from the past to the present and into the future, as you said, Craig, and as both of you are committed to taking care of and protecting that which is so beautiful and inspires, I think that is the conversation. We do not want to lose it while we are embracing new forms, new technology. That is not the same thing as plowing it asunder, concreting it over, making it inhabitable for all those things that inspire us. So that's the issue at hand. And I think people like the McGillivrays, who funded Arbor Day and having a tree forum, and people from all different sides coming together. I mean, clearly, even the facades of the hive, which they call it, that used to be between the Sawdust Festival and the Art Affair and the exterior of the Art Affair, getting muralists that graduated from our local art school like LCAD and from other countries. You and I, Craig, have talked about with Jonathan Burke from LCAD. They want to do some things. They've been rehabbing existing buildings, but they want to bring in the same things. They want to bring in, you know, like a biennale of art, an international. And we have ways to do that, but we have to work together. Mm-hmm. So the new, the old, and even change can be accommodated within guidelines. And that's what is really important, is to make sure that we don't have wishy-washy standards that are not protecting what we all value.
Just real briefly, I've been involved with Laguna Canyon Conservancy. In fact, I do their website and a lot of work for them and some of their marketing.
And we all are.
And I've attended their dinners for the last, all year long except this last one. But I think to speak that when I say all, the art needs to be vibrant. The enjoying the natural beauty of the green hills and the preserved spaces around Laguna Beach needs to be vibrant. It all needs to be vibrant, and that's what makes us different. And I honestly feel somehow it can be worked out. There's some,
I agree with you.
There's some way to make it work.
I agree. And it has been working for the past 100 years.
Yeah.
I just think we have to at least acknowledge the fact that things can change quickly and things could, decisions could drastically devastate the amount of culture and the amount of creativity that we have in this city, our beautiful green belt, our blue belt. So yeah. I think it's great that we have organizations like Village Laguna and organizations. If you look at how many organizations we have here in town that are willing to come together to protect the art, the artists, the environment, and the beauty of our city, it's a really a great place to live.
And the architecture of our town is also art.
Yeah. Very, absolutely.
Very,
absolutely.
Very much sure. Art.
That's a good point.
And so many of our vintage cottages, our neighborhoods, the small-scale streets that invite each other into their homes, that is nowhere else. That in itself is, you know, wonderful, unique art. And we have to be careful we don't lose that. And, you know, our homes define us like no other art, just element in our society. Our art is our architecture. And wherever we live, architecture leaves an indelible, vital imprint on the unique character and history of our town that we must safeguard. And I have fear that we may be losing this. There's an element of not completely out with the old and in with the new, but there's a very strong movement for big change,
you know,
huge change. And for that, I worry that our small town will get demolished slowly but surely.
Every year, Orange County Symphony does a show home, and they work with the Laguna Design Center,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
they put all, and it's many of them are in Pelican Hill, and they're these, and I've been on them. We actually did some work on them when I was involved with the Laguna Design Center. I went to them, and I said, can't we do a beach bungalow home? Mm-hmm. Instead of these ornate, big, huge, what they call McDonald houses.
McMansions.
Yeah.
Couldn't we do, maybe pick a series of three or four bungalows and go back to this culture where, you know, and it was casual and flip-flops at the door and, you know, and do a couple homes to show really a part of our culture, not this new culture.
And it was creative. You know, flip-flops at the front door, a bit of driftwood.
Yeah.
Bits
yeah.
hanging from the doorbell.
Right.
That is creative, and that is still Laguna.
But things are changing quickly.
Empty mm-hmm. six-pack on the front porch.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Go
yeah, and that kind of fun and festivities that used
yeah.
to take place.
Yeah.
I remember when I first moved here on the 4th of July, there was a bunch of bungalows, and there wasn't as many oversized homes, and it just, there was more parties, and it was just more of like a beach city that really kind of cherished its small little cottages.
Yeah.
And there are beautiful big homes out there. I just think Charlotte makes a great point that we have to protect our architecture. If you look at cities around the world, let's look at Penn Station and Grand Central Station. I did my PhD work in New York, and if you look at Grand Central Station, they were going to tear it down. It's one of the most beautiful artists.
It's yeah. iconic.
It's iconic, and it right. is a piece of art.
It identifies the city, and I think
it
that's
identifies
the, point.
The city, and exactly. that's a great point, Leah. Some of
sense
our
of
cottages
place, yeah.
and some of our architecture definitely defines our city as being one of the most beautiful cities in the world.
Remember, it's an art colony, and that's how it's
exactly.
registered. It's not a city.
See,
it's an art colony.
I already see. The Orange County Symphony embracing the artist colony village, what did I call the little bungalow showcase? Have six beautiful that are being restored. Have them, you know, I don't know.
That's what we do, Craig. That is Village Laguna every year.
Well,
we have the
symphony
townhouse
should,
tour.
They should
do
be...
theirs up there. Don't come
well, this
town.
Is what was done in Crystal Cove when it became a state park. They did not remove the bungalows. They
yeah.
actually repurposed them to be used in their original form. People like Keenholz mm-hmm. lived there.
Yeah.
People who were major artists in L.A. had bungalows there. But you can still go there through the state. rent them, stay in them, and experience Laguna as it was well before we were all here.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting point. Now, what you're talking about in terms of what Craig said, McMansionizing, in Newport Beach, for instance, they have a threshold that you can't go under. I think Laguna needs a threshold that you can't go over. And the reason is because we even have on our books, but we don't follow it as well, that there's a certain amount of permeable land allotted to every single lot, whether it's residential or commercial, that has to be there to protect the environment. Well, as things roll along and we keep on adding to the structures and McMansionizing them, as we roll along and accept the California mandate to have ADUs, the accessory dwelling units, and to use up our property, there's going to be someone that has to be a watchdog. And this is extremely important for all of us. Not that we don't want to accommodate, not that we don't want these things, but they have to have guidelines. If they don't have certain guidelines, then it ruins what we already have, and we need to cherish that.
And I think a great example of that is the, and I'm going to get back to art, and I want to preface this, that we love our artists and we want to support them.
Absolutely.
I own a rental property on Stans Lane, which was right by the proposed artist live work complex.
Okay.
I lived on that corner.
On Stans Lane.
And Sun Valley Drive.
That's interesting.
That was my property.
Okay.
Both of those.
Okay. I own 21398. So
Barbara Burke's house.
I don't know who Barbara is. Burke. It's not my house.
Yeah, but, house. Not my house.
So that was passed through city council, and it was this, you know, at the end of the day, how many artists were going to get subsidized housing? Not very many. I think, what was it, 2 or 3 units out of the 28 or 30
that
units?
That was it. Yeah.
And you look at how beautiful our canyon is. Our canyon is still that old Laguna, and I love my house out there. It's small, 2-bedroom, 1-bath on
but
a fifth
back.
Of an acre.
It's behind the canyon.
It's behind. But if that artist live work dwelling would have gotten through
the original 8 units.
Well, I think when it was finally up, when it was finally approved, it was like,
over 28.
I think it was 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 28 or 30 units. 28 or 30 units in an area that only has 60 people living in that 5-mile radius. That could have devastated the cultural aspect of the canyon. And, you know, people say, oh, it's the canyon. Well, I mean, maybe I'm a little more invested because I have a house out there, but we all should have been up in arms about that. We can't sit back and let our city be taken over and have the beauty of our culture be changed drastically by a developer that wants to make money off a small piece of property.
Well, the big problem is that people don't really understand. It's an education. They do not understand the geologic formation of the canyon, that it was millions of years old. It was a subterranean canyon. That the creek, that we call the creek down the center, the creek itself is the very bottom of the entire causeway for water. So in other words, you have water coming from both sides filling the canyon. So we had a 50-year flood in 1969, and there were boats going down the canyon. They closed all the wells because our septic tanks flowed into them. So that's how they got water at the time I was living there, living exactly where you have your property. And I dug wells. I didn't know anything about wells at that time, but there's an enormous amount of information that we can lose. And the information isn't just on the geology, but it's on everything we have and what Charlotte talked about in terms of our cottages and the size and scale, because it is about size and scale and impact and zoning. But let me bring this out, because I just was at a meeting at LCAD for a big bend. And this is an issue that I think you really have to understand, that it's not all one way. Had those, had the Longy property, we'll call it, Artists Work Live, been against the hill on Sun Valley Drive, up against the mountain, had they been done correctly in rather a dark color underneath the eucalyptus trees, we probably wouldn't have the problem with it. The fact that it was blocking the view when you're coming down the canyon, mm-hmm. the fact that it was in the creek, mm-hmm. and that it overhung, and that there was lighting and turning and every other impact with it is the problem. But the sad part is that along with the powers that be, it goes through Coastal Commission, and then they pass it because they're not really looking at it.
And they don't live here and understand the dynamics of all of us. And I'd like to go one step further with, for example, the Blue Belt, the Laguna Blue Belt Coalition, of which I'm also a member. They're in the business of education, and every year we're in our eighth year of a photo contest. And this is a wonderful way to express the beauty.
The photo contest that we have at the Susie Q Community Center that's hanging?
Yes, but yes. It's not there this year. It's at the ranch.
The ranch in Laguna Beach.
Right, and one more week of submitting photos for the marine protected areas. What it's all about is teaching people about the environment through art.
It's a perfect example.
Right, they see it, they love it, they love their photographs, they love to be
and
creative and artistic.
It.
Mm-hmm. And here they are on the beach.
And so when is that going to take place, Charlotte? Would you tell us?
Well, right now we have one more week of submission of art photos. And then a week later, the judges, Tom Lamb, Pat Sparkle, and Mitch Ritter will be judging. And then we have amateur and professional, and there'll be three in each category and on. So that'll take another week. And then we're coming up in April.
So April is there an absolute date when people are, is it going to be an exhibition, an award, or what?
The winners, yes, they will be at the ranch in South Laguna.
Thank you so much. And this is, you know, this is an exciting conversation because it's all connected, aren't we?
Yes,
everything.
Yeah.
Our living, our space, our environment.
I think that there's been we're going to take a music break here in just a second so we can back up and think. But I just think about this. It was a year ago and I'm going on about, I went to a couple artist meetings and people weren't showing up. And Sean Pichelle has had a very shallow audience, and there was no interest. But there were a few people there that showed up that were really passionate, and I talked to them. But the dialogue through all of this, the common thread has been a live work space for artists, and it's my understanding that was the original model for 7 Degrees in the Canyon. I remember talking to Dora about it at some point, but essentially that there were to be artists and then they had a place to display their art, and they're the artist studios where they could be vetted and they would decide who would try to pick good, or I'd say so subjective, but try to pick artists that they thought were appropriate and have the facility. I hate to even say appropriate.
We understand, Craig. Okay. I mean, it's really the cutting edge, interesting art, quality work, all of that rolled in to be a representation of what they felt the highest quality art to show would be.
Right.
And
well, you got to be very careful, very, very careful. So this is I have two brilliant, I think, ideas. Okay.
And
the second, the first was technology and art, and it's electrifying a whole new generation of arts. Now we got them coming here. Where are we going to put them? And that's been a common dialogue. Where are we going to put them? And I remember talking to Harry Huggins, driving down the canyon when we were taking a trip somewhere. And I said, you know, I have this idea. They build these what they call tiny homes, and you can build them in any decor you want. They can be rustic. They can be contemporary. You can have a collage of all different kind of tiny homes. Get a donor to buy 36 tiny homes. And all you have to do is hook up water and electricity to them. 36 is important because
312s.
Okay. Yes. So you have 12 artists. So every 6 months, you rotate 12 artists out that have been there a year, and you rotate in a new 12 artists, and you constantly have a thriving community that's constantly changing. And these artists then are commissioned to stay there, and they have part of their tiny home is their studio. It's all combined, all one. And then every whatever time of year you come here, you can expect to see new art and fresh things expressed. And then it would be the city would sanction it, give the property, get a donator to buy the tiny homes, and suddenly overnight we could have a place for the artists, and we could have a program, and we could, the one last part of that component is where are we going to display their art? It has to be a supported space that their art. Oh, did you go to the and see these 12 new artists? And where did they dig? I mean, we need to find the Da Vinci's and the Chagall's, and we need to find the new. I don't want to say, and maybe they're right here under our nose.
Some of them are. But
they don't have the venue or the means, and it's kind of like a brilliant mind that can get an education or is educated, but they can't. I don't know. They can't get an education, so we give them an opportunity to be the true artist that is part of their passion. So, you know, if all those things came about, we'd be on the front page.
It's a great
it's a great idea, and I think what you're really speaking of, what they call artists in residence. There's a period of time, so the city or the state or a donor or a benefactor creates this this community where artists in residence stay for a period of time. I think there's a foundation back east, and it's very well known for writers. And they already have that. And in terms of exhibiting, the exhibition spaces already exist. We have in public domain the Festival of Arts. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, again, like the courthouse doors being closed in Erwin Chemerinsky's book, our city has closed off a lot of the public access. You do not feel like you can go into the Festival of Arts grounds as you used to. You feel like it's gated, which it feels like because the very front, not because it isn't beautiful on the outside, but because the entrance doesn't feel like it's welcoming. And it's actually a public space where you can exhibit and you should be able to. It's a public park.
Well, performance art would do very well there in that theater.
Let me go on to say that the same issue exists. So the big problem is nurturing artists. Remember, artists came here because, number one, it was inexpensive and nobody lived here. And so when I came, someone said, why do you want to go there? And I said, because there's nothing here. I said, exactly. That's the only word I used. Because what inspired me was its beauty of its landscape.
All right. Well, we'll come back on the other side of a little catch and release here. We'll have a few more dialogues and then we'll wrap it up because we only have like 20 minutes left.
But oh, no.
We'll be good. I know. And you're going to get a few more words in here.
You bet.
All right.
There's a place I go to when no one knows me. It's not lonely. It's a necessary thing. It's a place I made up. Find out what I made up. The nights I've stayed up. Counting stars and fighting sleep. Let it wash over me. I'm ready to lose my feet. Take me off to the place where one reviews life's mystery. Steady on down the line. Lose every sense of time. Take it all in and wake up, that's my part of me. Day to day I'm blind to see and find how far to go. Everybody got their reason. Everybody got their way. We're just catching and releasing what builds up throughout the day. It gets into your body and it flows right through your blood. We can tell each other secrets and remember how to love. Da da dum da dum dum dum. Da dum dum dum. Da dum dum. Da da dum da dum dum dum. Da dum dum dum. Da dum dum. Mystery. Steady on down the line. Lose every sense of time. Take it all in and wake up that small part of me. Day to day I'm blind to see and find how far
to go. Everybody got the reason, everybody got the way. We're just catching and releasing what builds up throughout the day. And it gets into your body, flows right through your blood. We can tell each other secrets and remember how to love. Da da dum 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 da dum.
We are back here, Laguna Beach, KX 93 Radio. My guests, pay attention now.
I'm paying attention.
We're back live here. We were talking a little bit off camera here, off air, about what's going on. And I'm feeling that we didn't quite get Cynthia's...
Charlotte. Yes,
as in, ahead, as in hush, hush, sweet.
Sweet, not yes. Charlotte.
Particularly sweet.
Very nice, Craig.
Okay.
Very nice.
And then also, Gary, I feel we talked about a lot of things that we all are passionate about, and passion is what I want to get involved in. We did have some really good passion. We'll have some more. But I feel unfairly to both of you that a little more about yourself and what brought you to... You want to go, Gary?
Yeah, I'll go first.
What brought you to here and why you're here and what your passion is, I suppose.
My passion is to really protect the cultural charm and the heritage and the beautiful city that we live in. And I'm a world traveler. I'm lucky enough to have my summers off and I've been everywhere. And you know, you see mistakes being made in some of these cities where they tear down the buildings and they have a new idea and they put in a mall and you go back a couple years later and there's this big development. And I just think that my passion is to really preserve the cultural aspect of Laguna Beach, the beauty, the art, the feeling of Laguna. And mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting time to take a stand to try to protect the culture of Laguna.
So you express that passion because of so many places you've been to realize that this environment we live in that we often or too often take for granted is extremely exceptional and deserves the right to be preserved.
100%. I mean, I'm sure we all travel I'll go away for a month at a time in the summertime and I see incredible, beautiful things, but sometimes the most beautiful thing I see is when I take PCH after a trip and I'm coming in down PCH and I'm coming south and you hit Laguna and I'm thinking, why did I go anywhere? I mean, it's really nuts. I mean, I go and I love to travel, but it really is a beautiful place. And I just think we've brought up some great issues here today. I do love your idea about the small homes. If we just get 24, I'm going to go down to 24.
Yeah, well, 24 would be good. 36 would be ideal.
Trying to promote and nurture our artists and the culture of our city, there are people that maybe don't have the same ideas of what it would take to preserve our city. And like I brought up before, the artists live workplace in the canyon could have drastically changed the feel of the canyon. And that's why I think what our passion is just to preserve the city and make sure that it's a functioning city and a beautiful city that promotes artists.
A vibrant.
Before we go to Charlotte, and we'd like to know about her and her background, let me also say that buildings are buildings. We have a former building belonged to Verizon, and now it's Frontier. Mm-hmm. That building is fairly empty. That building is used as repurposed for, say, art students.
Is that on the corner of Beach and Broadway?
That's the one that's rather an Art Deco building. Yes, exactly. Charlotte, do you want to chime in on that?
Yes and no. I'd rather go back to what Gary said, since you were asking about our love for Laguna and why we came.
Yes, please.
excuse me, Leah. Everything that Gary said, I concur, I agree with wholeheartedly. We lived in the bush in Alaska. You can imagine that's an extremely different environment to here. But we came here in the winters, and it was the beauty of the town and the walkability of the town. And I know it's grown tremendously, but you can still do that. You really can if you're a local,
yeah.
and you can work your way around. And fortunately, as a retiree, I can. I'm not constrained by rush hour. And so it's still there. And that's what I came for, and particularly the ocean. That is so magnificent. Our coves,
yes,
are like no others in the world. And I grew up on the south coast of England, so I know about the coastline.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like it in the world. And as Gary said, you can go away and come back, and it's like, what did I go away for? Oh, yeah, it was for the people, perhaps. But the beauty of Laguna, that the green belt and the blue belt. And mm-hmm. I have a wonderful book that I'm not particularly promoting, but it's called it's a treasured historic American landscape. And that is what Laguna is. It's Hal's. And actually, we're on the National Park Service as a community that is treasured. So I have this dream that maybe one day we will become what would you call it, a heritage community, but not if the development gets away from us, not if we don't watch what we're doing, not because the stuff they're building isn't necessarily beautiful, it's just that it's going to be overdeveloped.
Well, there's a symposium going on at Montage on the, I think it's the 26th mm-hmm. of April,
mm-hmm.
and the gentleman wrote a book, his last name is Florida, I don't remember his first name, last name's easier to remember. And it's going to be interesting what that is about, because it is about melding and you know, I think, I don't know, I mean, there are some constraints that, there's a reason it's not affordable for artists as part of the conversation, you know, and that is something that is, I guess, the elephant in the room, so to speak, because if it were, we wouldn't be having these conversations, but whatever the outcome is of that, and it's very progressive thinking, and I'm going to go. I'm going to participate in it. We have Laguna Beach Pride Cultural and Heritage group, and I've been involved in that. And it's about preserving the culture, because the gay component was huge here in Laguna Beach, and it was a vibrant part of the community, just like the artist community was, you know. And unfortunately, I think when AIDS and HIV hit, it kind of smacked it down really hard.
That's so true. We've lost that element.
And I think that's part of the culture that mm-hmm. needs to be here again. Mm-hmm. It will be different, because I think being gay now is much more inclusive than it was years ago. But I think that's a part of it too. So I'm going to attend that. But to talk about preserving and then developing those things, I'm naive enough to think that there is a way, a path forward, if we put our brains to it, to make it all happen. And
By the rules.
I think there's
if
a way.
If they play by the rules.
What's sad is that we've seen some of our coastal cities up and down the coast really change. And can we go back and say there's still a way for some of these cities like Huntington Beach? And I think after a few bad decisions, they lost their character. They lost their charm. They're going to lose their artists. They're going to lose their art. And I think you bring up a great point. But you know, even when I said 20 years ago, when we had little homes and it was more, and that's, I remember the gay vibe here in Laguna, and it brought a lot of fun and a lot of energy to the city that I think we all wish we had before. And, you know, we really have to work together to see how we can bring that back. I'm great friends with Audrey Prosser, and I'm glad that she's doing this. And I think if we all work together from an artist standpoint, from a development standpoint, from a arborist standpoint, from the blue belt, from the green belt, we can make it work. But it's
now the Honakers it's a hot topic. I'll bring it up right here. And they go to the Laguna Canyon Conservancy. They actually have been very generous to the Laguna Canyon Conservancy with buying their dinners for the, paying for the dinners for all their meetings. And Laguna Canyon Conservancy is, brings in some vibrant topics. I think, and as crazy as I think we should have Mo as a guest. I think he should get up there and we should hear what he has to say right from his.
I agree with you, because
he's very much involved. And does he want to move forward in the same direction as Newport Beach, or does he want to preserve it, a culture like, I think Ashland, Oregon is a wonderful little city up there too, and they've preserved it quite well and made it what it is. So, but anyway, I think that kind of dialogue, I remember just after that very tenuous election for city council people, the meeting at Laguna Canyon Conservancy, there was Mo talking to Tony Eisman, and they were having dialogue. And they had, and I thought, you know, this is great. There's dialogue, because I think one is very cautious about preserving and very thoughtful, and the other one is more progressive and wants to bring something to Laguna. But everyone really knows, wants to speculate on what that is first, and they really need to hear what it is. Yes.
Could I interject there, Craig? Actually, Mo Honecker has invited Village Laguna to go to his office. I'm not sure, we don't yet have a date or a time, and see his projects. You know, he has lots of artist renderings on the walls and models on tables. And I think that would be very beneficial for us.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. He's in the planning stage, so maybe you have some influence on, you know.
That's the whole point of why we would go.
We are going to have Dora Wexel and Mark Orgill here. And they had sold the property, which now is the Hive, out in the canyon. And they really are very aware of Laguna and care about it. And they are wonderful bridges between Mo, whom they now help, and the community, such as Village Laguna. But we have to also say, so people who are listening also know, that Laguna's never grown any larger. The issue is how to maintain its beauty and how to do it within reason and accommodate. We have a lot of different factors we all know and not enough time to talk about, but it, by rehabbing some areas completely without changing the way it looks can be done. And it is possible then to have permanent housing. That is a big issue. Part of the problem that came down from the state with in the 2017 on trying in this housing crisis, never addressed the safeguards for environment, never addressed rent control, never addressed permeable land. And so what's missing are the details, and that's something that we all have to focus on and help with. And I want to thank you both very much for all your input and for all the work you do with Village Laguna, with your different organizations. And of course, I'll be joining you as president of the
LBC. We hear so much positive stuff from the Laguna Beach Beautification Council. We want to thank you as well, because we know you're out there giving it your all and standing up for the city. So thank you.
Thank you. And we are, Craig mentioned this program at the Montage. They're also one of our neighbors, and they've been very good to us. And they're going to have this program, Craig, you mentioned. What date again was that?
I think it's April 20th.
Okay, well, this month, I just want to make sure that we all know that March 28th, the last Thursday of the month, we are going to have Ron Vanderhoff, who is an expert on wildflowers and an open nature. And so we have a room 227 at 6 o'clock on the 28th at the Montage. He's going to do this wonderful passion for nature presentation on wildflowers. So awesome. I think, you know, these are all together collectively with this program with Craig and I, collectively with your wonderful efforts to highlight, appreciate, and preserve the architecture, the open space, and the culture and the people.
Yeah.
That all goes into it. So we're all in it together. It's like this wonderful soup, you know?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I want,
it's an absolute
a healthy soup.
Yeah.
I want to mention again our sponsor, which is Robin Lee Riddle of Coastal Eddy, for taking care of us and being a generous sponsor for this program. I also want to announce that tomorrow is Laguna Beach Arbor Day.
Mm-hmm. It is Arbor Day on Main Beach, and we will have a booth at 3 o'clock. This will be, when I say we, Laguna Beach Beautification Council, Transition Laguna,
Village Laguna,
we'll all be there, and hopefully the skies will just give us a little bit of calm. But haven't we been lucky to have this rain?
Yes, it's beautiful.
It's
gorgeous. The green in the mountains. Tomorrow at Arbor Day, aren't they also handing out some kind of
we have a raffle.
And there's how many oak trees being raffled off?
Oh, we have at least a half a dozen and different awesome. Kinds of trees. Mm-hmm. So the raffle is going to be there. So it's going to be a wonderful event.
Awesome.
I'll be there with everybody else. I'll see you down there. Yeah.
The tree planting ceremony and tree advice.
Okay? It's 3 o'clock tomorrow, correct?
3 o'clock.
3 to 5.
Anybody
who's three to who, five. Who is there tomorrow?
Yes, yeah. and the McGilvery's were big sponsors,
yeah,
giving a huge mm-hmm. foundation grant mm-hmm. to the city for trees. So mm-hmm. we're all working together in our own mm-hmm. way. So we have to always have the big picture in mind. I think actually, even with the people here, like the painting of Laguna, we're going to talk about the different murals and the artists. I think in the end, we'll all come together and make this a wonderfully exciting and yet appreciative place. So there's a combination of the quiet calm, the dark skies at night, which is extremely important because it scrubs and cleans the sky.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the clean oceans and safety for children and families, and also the experience of open space and restoring habitats. All of that can be accomplished with having artists, with having vibrancy that does not have to mimic extraordinary light shows or beer drinking on the beach. It doesn't have to be a Huntington Beach. It doesn't have to be a scene like that. We have our own scene, and it's a jewel, and we're so lucky to have so many people who are passionate, involved, and they come from both sides, and all sides. And this is
wonderful,
a wonderful thing.
Yeah, we appreciate you inviting us.
So yes, thank you so much for having us.
So
yes.
Thank you.
Yourself.
Thank you again,
thank you.
Everyone. Thank you for listeners for being out there. We appreciate it. If you have any information that you'd like to share with us and myself and Leah, you can go to Laguna Beach, you can go to rainbowradio.com and leave a message for me and Leah. Or you can go to artwalking.art. It's artwalking.art. And we'll have the podcast. If you missed some of this tonight, we'll have the podcast on there. You can download it from artwalking.art, or you can download it from the station, KX93.5, Laguna Beach's only FM radio.
And we want to thank Charlotte Mazurek and Gary Lefebvre.
Yes.
And Craig.
Thank you, Gary.
And
Len. And all of us together.
And we're all happy here.
Oh, absolutely. Yay. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Craig. That's wonderful.
You've got a great radio voice. Yeah. You too, Len.
No, he's...
Leah. Leah.
He got...